hearing God's voice, it's just, it's not that God doesn't speak, it's that we're on two different levels. The truth is that no relationship is better than its communication, right? All right? I like watching couples that have been married a long time go out to eat. I like to take my wife out on a date. We do that like every decade or so we go on a date, you know? And I like watching couples that are on a date, or I'm not sure if it's a date or not. It's not a date I would want to go on, but they come and they sit at that booth in Applebee's for 45 minutes and never say, the only words they say are to the waitress who comes. I mean, I watch the guy sit there and just read his paper. Not only is he not saying anything to his spouse that's sitting right across the booth from him, but he's got a paper between the two, and they read a paper. I'm thinking, you are two people alone on a date together, right? There's no communication there. I remember the point when I came to my wife, and I told you this story a long time ago, but I said, I am tired of being wrong all the time. And I was like, I thought that was a good one. I thought I had her there, you know. And she just came back with, you? I'm the one that's wrong all the time. I'm like, you're not wrong all the time. You're the one telling me I said, hold on a second. We need a third party here, right? If you don't have decent communication, you don't have a decent relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a father-child relationship, mother-daughter relationship, spouse relationship. There isn't a relationship farther than what a communication will allow it to go. Now, guys, we don't have to use our words to communicate. You ever see a guy sitting at the table, dinner table? That means pass the salt, you know? Wherever he nods his head, I had a friend that he'd do, and everyone just, his dad wants the ketchup, you know? Because he wouldn't talk. We don't have to talk, guys, to communicate, but we know what each other are thinking because it's easy. Guys don't think anything. So that part's easy, right? I know it's hard for you ladies to believe with all the thoughts you have in your head, but it's true. It's true. I saw this YouTube video once of this first day of this German officer on the job for Coast Guard, you know. And so the guy shows him, okay, I have to go on a break really quick, but just stay here and man whatever happens, and here's the button to talk to them, and here's how you hear, and, you know, and the guy leaves, and as soon as he leaves, an SOS message comes over and says, help, we are sinking. Hello? We are sinking, help. Hello, are you out there? Yes, we are sinking. He kept doing that for a while, and he finally says, what are you thinking about? The truth is, no relationship is greater than its communication. How many love Mexican food? Well, we don't really know. We've got American Mexican, but you know what I'm talking about. How many love Italian food? How many just love food? Yeah, I see those hands. How many love Iowa food? That's corn. Okay, in case you're wondering. Right? But the thing I hate about foreign restaurants are the bathrooms. Right? They think they're cute. Burritos, chimichangas, that's my choice. You know, they got this foreign conejitas. I don't even know if that's a good word I should say. I don't know. They got these words on the door that just, they don't even have the symbols, you know? They don't even have these symbols, so I know which one to go in. The other day, I walked into the women's restroom, and I got out of there fast. I noticed there are no urinals in here, right? That's the first thing you do if you don't know which restaurant. But you sit there forever just thinking, which of these restaurants? Just tell me whether it's men or women. Now, they are saying it's men or women, but I don't understand because I don't speak that language. I tried being real smooth at a Mexican restaurant, you know, because they always come to you, and they always speak, you know, Mexican to you, you know. I mean Spanish, yeah. Yeah. Right? And so I kept talking back to the waitress, you know, but she would never respond to me. And I kept speaking to her in Spanish, or Mexican, depending on, you know. I kept speaking to her in Spanish, right? And she wouldn't respond to me. I'm thinking, they normally, when you speak in Spanish, they just light up like, you know, they start, you know, ¿cómo está? Or whatever. Sure, oui, oui. I love that fact. The only time you use the words oui, oui are when you're a kid or if you're French. You know, now you're going to say oui, oui all the time as an adult. That would be great, you know, say oui, oui all the time. But they brought something to me, and I thanked her in Spanish. And my wife said, what did you say? Well, my wife says that it's never good. You want to just pass over it. But my wife will never let you pass over it. She'll always bring you back to that. No, what did you say? I said, thank you. Yeah, but you didn't say thank you. Mexican restaurant, I spoke Spanish, right? She said, what did you say? I said, thank you in Spanish. She said, what did you say? I said, grazie. Say, Steve, that's Italian. I'm thinking it's close, grazie. They should know the difference. I'm trying to get there. My ADD cut in there somewhere, and I had to go to the next sentence, right? The truth is, no relationship is greater than its communication. The problem is, when it comes to God, when I do marriage counseling, I love to do marriage counseling, okay? The people who have gone through my marriage counseling love it when I do marriage counseling. Now, I don't know anything about the money thing, obviously, and I don't know anything about all that other stuff, but there's one thing I know about, it's communication. All we ever talk about is communication. I always ask them, so what are you guys fighting about lately? See anything that's bothering you? Oh, no. We're in love. I love her. She's just perfect. I love her. I'm thinking, okay, whatever. Is he doing anything to bother you? Oh, no. I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be great. I want to visit this marriage in 20 years, you know? Yeah, how about 2 years? Yeah, exactly. How about 20 minutes, right? It's funny because the closer it gets to the wedding and crunch time, pretty soon, a week or so out, then it's really, anything bothering you about her? No, the guy is clueless. Anything bothering you about him? Well, yeah, actually there is, what do you mean? Because it's getting close to crunch time. Well, I need this done, I need that done, and, the bride, happy wife, happy life, okay? And the moment that she starts to eye up and he begins to respond back, I said, good, now we're on to something. Now we can talk about something, because I can teach you all about communication, but until you've got a source of conflict, we can't really practice this because it doesn't really work, right? It's like when you're going to jump out of a plane at 20,000 feet. I had a friend that she was a youth pastor, and she took her students to go on a skydiving trip. And she was aghast. She sat there in the room and listened to the guy give instructions to the kids. It lasts about 20 minutes. She went to him afterward. He said, how dare you? He said, these kids are precious to me. They're like my own children. They're going to jump out of a plane how many thousands of feet? And you give them a 20-minute ordeal? He says, ma'am, they listen real close when they're about ready to jump out of an airplane. At camp last year, that guy could have learned a lesson from it. Well, we're going to go up this week. I'm waiting for his speech again. The guy comes in while everyone's getting ready to eat, and he starts going over the rules. And his rules went like this. And I'm not exaggerating, even though I am an evangelist. I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating when he said this. He said, okay, well, the campground's here's the out of bounds. Here's some of the other rules. When you go to put your silverware away, just go put your food back there. Your forks go in the bin right here. We have a bear that walks around and a mountain lion sometimes. So when you're with somebody else, just make sure you make noise. The spoons go over here and this. And I said, how did you put the bear and a mountain lion in the middle of the fork and the spoon? Right? Did you just say that sometimes mountain lion walks through camp? Am I missing something? These are teenagers. They don't listen to a thing adults say. At least somewhere in there say, listen up, this is very important. Of course, that means really turn your brain off, right? You listen real close when those couples get ready and the point of contention occurs, then a contention arrives, then I can say, okay, now we can talk about this. Let's talk about what bothers you about. And they begin to put into practice what I teach them on communication, because the truth is, no relationship is better than its communication, period. Whether it be with mankind or with God. No relationship, we call it a personal relationship with God. But no relationship with God is better than its communication. Okay? The problem is this. God speaks God. I speak human. Repeat after me. Bleh. Right? It's like a whole other God. What are you saying to me? Bleh, bleh, bleh. God, I don't understand. So therefore, I think I'm deaf. No, I'm not deaf. I just have forgotten how to speak God. I knew it one time when my name was Adam and I was alive in the very beginning. When mankind was first and they lived in the garden together, they both spoke God. Right? We talked about the Garden of Eden a couple years ago. They both spoke God. Last time I was here, we talked about the importance of hearing God's voice. We have got to find out what God's perspective is in every area of our life. We talked a lot about the economy, and we got to find, instead of what the news is saying about our economy, we need to find out what God is saying about our economy, what God is saying about our situation. That brings peace. That brings contentment. That brings the stillness of your spirit. You can survive when you know God is saying it's going to be okay. When you're a little kid, if you had a good father, a good mother, a good guardian that you could go to, when you're in trouble, you'd go to them. And usually they would tell you it's going to be okay. And what did you do? You believed it. Oh, Dad said it's going to be all right. Right? You think you're dying. You saw blood. Look, blood. Now I need a Band-Aid, right? The first time you see blood, you start to freak out. And when your mom says, it's going to be okay, she says that not because she's mean and lying to you. She says it because it is going to be okay, and she knows. And when I would call my dad when I was in college, and my dad would say, son, calm down. It's going to be all right. Immediately, everything changed. We have got to find out what God's perspective is. That was part one. Today is part two. How do you find his perspective? You've got to learn how to hear his voice. Did you know that there is some kicking 80s tune going on in this room right now? There's an 80s rock and roll hit going on, and you think you're having church, and there is 80s rock and roll playing right now in this room. Can you hear it? No one can hear it? It's because you don't have a radio. If we turn the radio on, even back on the computer, we could find a radio station, and we could turn the radio on, and you would hear the song that's playing. You know, I tell teenagers all the time, I just want to give you an opportunity to thank me and my generation for all the good rock and roll that you copy. Yeah. And everyone said, amen, right? 80s music used to be, you know, sinful, but now it's okay, you know, because now if they listen to you today, you wish they listened to 80s rock and roll, right? But there is music going on over your head. There's all sorts of songs, all sorts of genres. There's all sorts of music going on, even talking going on over your heads right now, and you don't even know. You're oblivious to it, because the only way you can hear it is if you tune in to it. You've got to tune your radio into it to hear what's going on. The waves are in the air. God is always, 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 always speaking. Now, sometimes, because God made man in his image as well as mankind, made male and female in his image, God made man in his image, so sometimes God is quiet. But he's still speaking. He says, be still and know that I am God. I used to speak God. But then when I decided to go after knowledge instead of after life, right? The tree of knowledge versus the tree of life. I was booted out, and I began to learn how to speak human while God still speaks God. That's the problem. What do you do with that when you're standing there and you've got chimichangas and burritos? You don't know which door you're supposed to go through. Burrito. Is it a burrito then? Okay. Wish I would have known that before I went into the chimichangas. I remember when I was a kid, this preacher was preaching. She was standing up here, and I was probably about 9 years old, something like that. She was standing up here getting ready to preach. We had our Bibles open. She already told us where to open the Bibles. Before she began to speak, she said, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Okay. Okay, so you want me to... Oh, Mark. Okay, you... And then we're going to... Okay, so we're going to, all right, never mind. I want you to turn your Bibles to Mark now, and I want to, and I sat in that chair, and I don't know if it went over most people's heads, but I sat in that chair, and I went, what just happened there? Did that lady just have a conversation with God? I grew up in church. I grew up in prayer meetings. I got some of my best sleep in prayer meetings. I saw people pray, but I'd never seen anyone communicate with God before, where he talked back. She had a regular conversation with him in her head. So you want me to, okay, never mind. So then if we do that, we're going to. And he was filling in the blanks as she was speaking inside of her head. And at that moment, I said, I want that. I want that. Religion does not want that. Religion wants it so Moses will hear God's voice, and then he'll tell you what God is saying. It's easier that way. When Moses set up the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the Bible says in Exodus 33 that anyone who wanted to speak with God could go there and speak. We only read of Moses going in there and Joshua following him. Other men might have, but the Bible says that each man stood at attention to his own tent. I stand at attention to my own life. Pastor, you go find out what God is saying, and then you come tell me what I'm supposed to do. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. What kind of relationship is that? Maybe some of us will like it if our spouse just did what we told them what to do. But that's not a true friendship. That's not a true relationship. That's not a true marriage, because no relationship is better than its communication. We call communication with God prayer, but man, our views of prayer sometimes are always just yada, yada, yada. I'm just going through formulas, or always talking at God instead of, I pray to find out what God wants to say to me. I communicate with God because I want to find out what he's thinking. My prayer used to be always asking him to do something for me. Always asking him questions about things I wanted the answer to, instead of saying, God, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What is your opinion about the situation? Because every one of us, when we're in a situation, when we're in friendship with somebody, we all love to be asked, what do you think? You're in a group of people and you're quiet because you're quiet, or because you're shy, or because you don't know if you should say anything, and all of a sudden the guy stops and says, what do you think? Boy, it just honors you. It just brings value to you. I was at a camp once, and I made all the kids get in a circle and just and hang out and talk about whatever. And then I paused them and I said, pause your conversation, okay? I want you to talk about whatever you're going to talk about, but I want you to pick someone to be Jesus. And so they picked a person as Jesus, where they have the longest hair, whatever, okay? Then I said, unpause. I kept going on with the conversation. One of the people that were picked to be Jesus said, the moment that he was picked to be Jesus and you unpause the conversation all switched to, now everyone started asking me questions like, so are you going to make it snow on this snow camp? When's it going to snow? When are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? When are you going to heal my grandpa? When are you going to do it? And he said, I just wanted someone to ask me. It was weird. He said, I know he wasn't Jesus, but I don't know if I had his heart or what. I just wanted someone to ask me what I thought. What do you think? What do you think, Jesus? We talked about that last time. The problem is, he speaks God, we speak human. Now I'm telling you, hearing God's voice is not difficult. Religion makes everything difficult because it makes us feel important when a religious caste, when a religious society makes us feel important. Well, you have to do all this stuff like I did. See all my badges? That's what religion does, right? It's a system of, I'm important now because I've gone through all this stuff. Jesus never did it that way. He came to earth and found 12 smelly guys that no one else would want to hang out with, and they just became friends. And they walked and they talked together. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, not at me, not to me, with me. What's the beginning of that song? I come to the garden. How often do you think God comes to the garden of my life alone? He's always with me. I don't have to invite him into my world. He's already there. But when I invite him in my world, it lets me know, wait a minute, it reminds me that God is there already. How does God speak to us? Well, there's several ways that God speaks to us. Number one, we talked about this last time. God speaks to us in our thoughts. Okay? He speaks to us in our thoughts. Aren't you glad he doesn't speak to you in my thoughts? Trust me, I don't even like when he speaks to me in my thoughts, right? You don't want this brain in yours. And everyone said, amen. You don't need that, whatever it is in there. You do not need that. When God speaks to you, he speaks to you in your thoughts. Not someone else's voice. God has spoken to some people, and they've heard an audible voice. But I have never met one who has. It's very rare when God uses an audible voice. And I think that we've got these goggles on, and this is what God sounds like. And so we don't have our radio tuned in because we think it's only this one station that he can speak to us. When we come to church, we think church is a place where you hear God. Well, that's true, but not because of anything special. You hear God wherever you want to hear God. Wherever you want to turn a radio on, you can hear 80s music, right? Wherever you want to tune in, God is speaking. So how do you know if it's your thoughts or God's thoughts? You don't until you act on it. Faith without works is dead. You have to act on it. If you act on it and find out that wasn't God, you'll know right away, usually. You'll either get a pit in your stomach, or the thing just falls in your, or slams in your face or whatever. You'll know, okay, check that one off. That's not what God's voice sounds like. The next time my thoughts sound like that, wait a minute, that does not sound like God to me, because last time I ran into the wall, right? You got to act on it. Otherwise, you'll never know. It's dead. So God speaks to us in our thoughts. Other ways that God speaks to us. In images, pictures. Me, he speaks to me in pictures. Okay? I get one of the best places God speaks to me are hot tubs. Okay, hot tubs. The golf course. Amen. Okay. But that's why it's the Holy Land, right? But one of the biggest places God speaks to me more than anything else are movies. You know why? Because God made me a visual person. I'm visual. Like many of you, you're probably falling asleep while I'm talking here because you want to see something, not just hear something. Okay, so we try to put stuff up on PowerPoint, but I'm visual. When I'm watching a movie, okay, oftentimes God will say, Steve, that's you. That guy over there, that's you. That thing over here, that's me. And the conflict they're having, that's our conflict. Now watch how they solve that conflict. And I go, oh, I have to, ah! He speaks to me in images. I had a girl come up to me after one of a snow camp that I did. And it really was a snow camp because it was in Chicago, okay? And so not like a snow camp's out here, right? But she came to me and she says, you know what, Steve, my whole life, I've seen pictures in my head, my whole life. And she almost started to cry as she said, are you telling me that all these years I've been hearing God's voice? I said, Elisa, I am telling you. And she's married now, so she wasn't just a teenager. I said, Elisa, I'm telling you, I think all these years you've been hearing God's voice. She said, I was taught that to hear God's voice meant you have music playing, you have worship going, right? And in church, and at the end of the worship, then the worship leader just steps back, doesn't say anything, and we just play soft music until someone in the crowd will say, thus says the Lord. And a prophetic word is given. And a prophetic word always has to be given right there. Listen, where did miracles happen? Did they happen in the temple or did they happen on the streets? I think there were some that happened in the temple, but as a whole, it happened out there because God's got that Ariel anointing, you know. I want to be where the people are, right? Prophetic needs to happen in the marketplace. Where all of a sudden you know something about someone and God tells you how to handle it. And so you go up to that person and say, are you struggling with this or what's going on? And that's where it's supposed to happen. We think it was only supposed to happen in here. God had been speaking to her all these years. And I'm not saying every image that came into her head was from God. How do you know if it's from God or not? You act on it. You step out in faith. You just pleased him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you act on, you think it's God. But if you don't act on it, then it dies. Faith without works is dead. So her whole life she's seen images, but she thought she had these goggles on. God looks like this. God speaks like this. Here's the station God speaks through. It has to be through Christian television. It has to be through Christian radio. It has to be through, wait a minute, God will speak to you in all sorts of things. God speaks to us through other people. Man, I'm constantly calling people, say, hey, what do you think? I called someone the other day, and we're talking about something. I said, by the way, I want to throw something your way. I'm thinking I should do this, but I'm not sure whether I should or not. What do you think? And he says, I feel good about this, but this other thing, I don't think God wants you to do it. I had one person call me up, and my head was in my hands. I just got some really bad news, and I was sitting upstairs crying, trying not to let my boy know that I was up there just a wreck. I didn't know what to do. I was, for about 10 minutes, I was in a panic. That's not God. God doesn't speak to us in panic. That's us speaking. That's the enemy speaking. That should be a sign right there. Hold up. This isn't God speaking. God, what's your perspective, right? When God tells you there's bad news, he tells you in such a way that you can handle it, right? Okay, buckle up. Something's going to happen, but I'm going to be with you. And you go, okay, let's go, right? So this, I said, God, I don't know what to do. What are you thinking? What are you saying? Tell me. Talk to me. I don't know what to do. And the phone rings. Pick up the phone. Someone starts talking to me about another conversation that we were having. And all of a sudden I said, would you do me a favor? I don't know what to do. Here's my situation, and I don't know what to do. And immediately, over the phone, she began to prophesy over me. She says, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do nothing, Steve. You're supposed to lay on your mat and let your friends carry you before Jesus. Stop trying to fix this thing, and you lay on your mat. Stop it. And everything inside of me as a man wanted to fix it, wanted to go after it. I need to do something. It was regarding my family. I need to do something. God said, stop. You lay on your mat. You let me send people to take care of you. And lay you and bring you up on the roof and tear the roof open and lower you down before me, like it said in the Bible, that story of that guy. He couldn't pick up his mat. The problem with me is I could pick up my mat, but God told me not to. That was the hardest thing in the world. When God speaks, sometimes God speaks through people. So how do you know if it's God or not? Well, you pray about it. You act on it. You get other godly counsel. You find what other people are saying about it. Usually when God's speaking, God speaks to us through repetition. you'll see something or hear something over and over again, the same scripture over and over again. You keep hearing the same words in a song. You keep hearing the song topic is the same. Every time you turn on the radio, that same song is playing, or another song about the same topic is playing, or every time you pick up the Bible, it's saying the same thing. God often speaks. When I get things that are repetitious in my life, I step back and say, wait a minute, God, are you saying something? That doesn't mean God is, but it means I need to be looking for the fact if he is or not. Romans 8, 14 and 15, in the Message translation says this. It says, God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid one. It's adventurously expectant, where we greet God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? What's next, Papa? What do you want to do? It's adventurously expectant. When I get a bunch of repetition to happen in my life, I step back and say, God, are you trying to say something to me? And look at me. I don't take this thing, whatever it is, and put it right in the middle of my face. So that's all I can see is this. I put it off to the side, a shelf in my brain, off in my peripheral vision. So if something happens, I can pull that back off the shelf and say, oh, that's what you were talking about when you said so-and-so. So God often speaks to me through repetition. I keep getting some over and over again in my head. Okay, God speaks to us through the Bible, right? You've got mail, right? I don't read the Bible because that's what Christians are supposed to do anymore. I stopped doing that because it just didn't work. It just made me feel guilty because I could never read enough. I never did it every day, and then I felt terrible about it. I read it now because it's my mailbox. It's God's Facebook right here. The Word of God tells you who he is, what he's about. And he's got a message for me today. He's got a comment for me today. And so I want to search the Word to find out what it is. When I read the Bible, I don't read it like a history book. I read it like a personal letter to me. And many times when I'm reading the letters from God, he'll say, now you're this person. He puts me in the story. He puts me in the action. Okay? God speaks to us through events, through things that happen. Music, movies, billboards. A couple Sundays ago, I flew into Minneapolis. I took the red eye so I could speak on Sunday morning. So it was like 3:30 my time. So it probably wasn't God. It was probably delirium, right? But as I'm waiting for the pastor to get there, I put the headphones on my iPod. My iPod's always set on shuffle. I love that. 1,500 songs all set on shuffle, okay? The song that came on, this guy was singing, and he was singing, Come Back to Me. He was singing to this relationship he had with this girl. So it was not your Christian song. It was just a regular song. And he said, come back to me. And God said, listen to that. And I said, wait a minute. That's a thought that came to my mind. I said, God, that's not me. I haven't turned from you. And he says, yes, you have. And then he pointed out, he said, last week, I hurt your feelings. Now, the reason why God hurt my feelings is because I don't understand God. Okay? So you ever have a misunderstanding? Most hurt feelings are from misunderstandings. Even when someone does something blatantly to you, you don't know where they came from. There was a misunderstanding. Then he says, yes, you have turned from me, Steve. You turned your face from me. Whenever my wife hurts me, usually through misunderstanding on my stupid part, right? But she hurts me, what do? I pull into my man cave, or I turn my face from her, and I don't want to talk to her. And he said, Steve, you've turned from me. You've turned your face from me. And I said, you're right. And I'm really sorry. And I turned back to him. Then I get home, and my iPod was still playing. I didn't realize it. I put my luggage in his trunk, and then he took me to the house before church, and I went to go unload everything. My iPod's still playing, so I go to turn it off, and God says, put the headphones back on. So I put them back on, and the very next line that comes through the headphones is, love is the master's plow that breaks down the walls of doubt. The very thing that I needed to fix my doubt and fix my fear and fix my anger with Jesus was his love. It was the very thing that I turned from because he had hurt me. But out of intimacy with him, my lover, God, spoke to me and said, I know that I hurt your feelings, but I need you to trust me and come back to me. Turn back to me. God speaks to us through music. He speaks to us through all sorts of events and things like that. But there's some cautions we need to have in hearing God's voice. Okay? Did you understand that religion from the get-go, religion tried to make it almost illegal to hear God's voice? What when Constantine said, this is going to be the religion for our country, Christianity? And what did he do? he put bishops in charge of people, and all of a sudden, you can't translate the Bible. Only the experts can translate the Bible. I don't know how to pray. Really? You ever talk in life? Then you know how to pray. You know how to communicate. But I'm not the expert. We let Moses do all the work. We let the pastor do all the work. We let all the, instead of, that's what religion does. But there are some cautions to hearing God's voice. I was at that same friend's house, and I was sleeping one of the mornings, and I heard this, like that, and I thought, and I opened up my eyes, and he's got a sign in his room that said Moose Crossing. I'm thinking, maybe this is real. And it was in another room in the house. I kept hearing every 15 seconds. And I'm thinking, that sounds like a moose in heat. I probably should get out of here, right? And I kept listening, and then I thought, oh, I know what it is. It's Dave. Dave is a pastor that is always in a good mood. It's a beautiful day, Steve. It's a wonderful day. It's always that, right? And I thought, he's singing up in the shower. But every 15 seconds, I kept hearing the, and I'm thinking, Dave, I know you sing in the shower and you're always in a good mood. And I thought that was weird, but this is really weird. And my whole view of God had actually switched to being, of David actually switched, because I was like, Dave, that is weird. I don't know, Dave was, he's still my friend, but I don't know he was that weird before. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. Dave is weird, but he's not that weird. There has to be an explanation for this. And I listened closely, and then it dawned on me, it was the washer just on the other side of my room. Right? I knew Dave's character enough to figure out, wait a minute, that was not Dave. But if this was some visitor, I just would have walked out and said, that guy is weird. I need to find a place to stay tonight. Right? There has to be cautions. There are people that use God as an excuse to do all sorts of bad things. Because once you say, well, God told me, how can I argue with that? Unless I can pull out the Bible and says, but the Bible says this, doesn't it? So there are some cautions we need. We have to know the Word. That's why I read the Bible. Does this make sense? Does this line up with what God is trying to do? I have got to know what God says about this. If God tells me to kill my little brother, right? Although my flesh would love the opportunity, if I'm in the Word, I realize this isn't a part of what God is about. God's not like that. That's not God speaking. I know the Bible enough to know that's not God speaking. So it's important that we stay in the Bible, because the Bible will guide us into all truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? So we need to know the Word. We also need to know God's character. People saying, God told me to do that. God told me to, when I leave this world, I don't want to have any money left. I want to be in debt. Wait a minute, that's not God's character. That's not God's character. So God is not speaking that. You have to know what God's character is. And the last caution that I can think of, and these aren't by any means exhaustive at all. There's so many different ways that we can hear God's voice. There's as many ways as there are stars in the sky to hear God's voice. That's what's so awesome about God. Let's find a new star today. Let's find a new way that he can speak to us today. Okay? We have to get godly counsel. When I get a word that I'm not sure about, or almost every time I get a word, I tell a bunch of godly friends that I have, and I say, this is what I think God is saying. And many times I've been corrected, Steve, I don't think that's God because the Scripture says this. You are right. It's very wise to run your words from God through godly people instead of on your own, because that gets cultic when you just, all of a sudden, it's just you. You're not that good. You're not that right on all the time. Those are the cautions that we need to have. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. Most of us know it, right? But in the Message, it's a whole other thing. What is Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not under your own understandings in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your paths. I read this in the Message translation, and it said, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. We each stand at attention to our own tent, right? And God says, don't try to figure it out on your own. Well, God gave me a brain, so I'm going to figure it out. This hearing God's voice all the time is silly. No, you're silly. And you stepped too far away from the original. When God made Adam and Eve, he wanted to have a friendship with someone. He wanted to have a relationship, and no relationship is better than its communication. And God wanted to talk with Adam and Eve. He wanted to walk with Adam and Eve. He wanted to be with them in the garden of their life, right? So where he says, don't try to figure out everything on your own. God hasn't put some timer in you, some battery pack that lasts so many years, and when it's done, you're done. Just make the best of it now. God walks in your world. He walks in your life. He just wants to realize you to realize that he is there, right? But I like what verse 6 says. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. Everything. Everywhere. That's what it means to pray without ceasing, is just to realize that God is always in your presence. God is always hanging out with you. Are you hanging out with him? John chapter 15 talks about abide in me as I abide in you. We've invited Jesus into our hearts. He's inviting us into his. Have we gone there? He says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it at all. Run to God. Run from evil. Hearing God's voice is not tough, but we're learning a new language again. Actually, we're relearning the original. We're learning how to speak God again. God speaks to our spirit. Einstein said this. Here's my favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes from Einstein. And he says that his religion consists of a humble admiration of the illimitable or the limitless superior spirit. We all know who that is, right? Who reveals himself in what? Slight details. When God speaks to me, we keep saying, well, God, make it more obvious. He's not going to. It doesn't take faith if he makes it obvious. God, if you put it, paint it in red on the wall, I'll do it. No, you won't. You just ask him to do some another sign for you, right? You'll fleece him to death, right? He reveals himself in slight details, nuances, hints, because then it takes faith to do it. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you get a little hint and you say, God, I don't know if this is you or not, and you step out on it, you just, woo! Even if you're wrong, God's in heaven going, woo! Woo-hoo! Yeah! My boys are first born. They were so stupid, they couldn't even walk. I had to teach them how to walk. It's a broken thing there, right? When that boy started walking to me, you know, the very first time I tell my friends, hey, watch this, and he set him down, and he walks, and he falls. Did you see that? He fell. Yeah, but he fell forward. I got excited. Why? Because I'm his dad. When I step out in faith, even if it wasn't God that I thought I heard, but I begin to, God, I think this might be you. I call to get some spiritual guidance on this thing. I go to the Word to look for it. I'm acting on it when I do that. And God says, that's my boy. That's my boy. You are so wrong, but you are so right. How can you be so wrong and so right at the same time? It's not about being wrong or right with God. It's just about action. It's about believing. It's about stepping out in faith, and you please him. He speaks to us in slight, small details that our frail and feeble mind is unable to perceive. We have to be looking for God. If we will look for him, and you'll be like that little kid who sat on the front row and watched that teacher say, hold on a second, what was that? And have a conversation with God and said, God, I want that. You know what? He's doing that with me. And when I started getting a handle on how he spoke in my thoughts, then he started giving hints and nuances. It's like he keeps pulling away from me. He's not pulling away from me. He's speaking quieter. Remember that old commercial? If you want someone's attention, whisper. Because when someone whispers, it forces everybody to listen closer. Draws me into his heart when all I can hear is a whisper. And that's why it's adventurously expectant in Romans 8:15. Because God gives a hint, are you going to step out on this thing? And all of a sudden we step out. And God says, he fell forward. It takes practice to learn a new language. But I'm telling you, it's in us. You know why I know it's in us? Because no relationship is better than its communication. And God wants to communicate with us again. Part one of this message, I checked it out last night. It's still on your webpage. I mean, I have CDs back there for $10. If you want to help support the ministry, you can. But you can actually get it for free on your webpage. Okay? I think it's like January of this last year. Okay? Talked about a lot of the stuff, but this is part two of that. God's not going to speak that clear that you know exactly what it is, he's going to speak to you in small details and small hints. And one day, man, you'll be jumping off of cliffs. One day you'll be healing the sick. One day you'll be prophesying in your family. One day you'll be prophesying on the streets. I'm seeing it happen. God sent me a text message the other day. I needed to hear from God, so I went on a ride with him. And I felt like God spoke something to me through the radio, through other things, through scriptures. I felt like God said, Steve, just have fun and relax. But I can't have fun and relax when I've got this big obligation I got to take care of. I felt like God said, Steve, I'm going to take care of the obligation. You relax. And I said, God, that's too big of a word for me to just lay on my mat. I had forgotten the word from a month earlier, lay on your mat and do nothing. And I said, God, I need something else. And I looked at my phone. I've been calling a bunch of people. I looked at my phone and I said, can you call me? You want to be my friend? Give me a call. And my phone rang. I was like, what? And I answered it, and it was some guy talking about some stupid thing, you know, typical guy stuff. And I was like, oh, shoot, I thought that was God there for a second, you know. And it rang again. I answered it after about three or four different rings from different people talking. It had nothing to do with what I was talking about, and I just kind of forgot all about it. All of a sudden, my ringer goes off again, but then, this time it was a text ringer, okay? And I picked up the text, and it had one word on it. God was telling me to relax and have fun and trust me and enjoy the journey and stop trying to fix it. And there was one word on this text, and it said fun. I opened it up and it said fun. I said, oh, that's cute. It was this, my preacher's daughter. And she's awesome. I was like, she reminded me a lot of Brittany, actually. And she was like, I was like, that's cool. Okay. So I hung it up and I put it back down. And I literally see God in my head. God, the best way I can describe it, God was like going, what? I don't text? And I picked it up and I said, fun? And I was like, God, are you telling me that? And he's like, yeah. You asked for a phone call. I gave it and then you doubt me. And I texted her back, and I said, you have no idea what that one word did to me. It sounded cheesy. She says, fun. Wow, fun, right? And she texted me back immediately, said, I knew I was supposed to do it. I'm glad I obeyed. And then I knew God had told her to send me that one word, fun. Wow. That, my friends, is called Christianity. That is a friendship with God. And I'll end it with this. Everyone say, yeah, right. I heard this quote, I think his name is William Young, but it says, this thing started out in Jerusalem, this friendship with Jesus started in Jerusalem as a movement. Went to Greece and became a philosophy. Went to Rome, became an institution. Went to America and became an enterprise. It's time to get it back to the friendship, to get it back to the movement of where you hear God's voice and where you prophesy out in the streets, where you are guided by God. A friend of mine was sitting down at Starbucks, and there was a bunch of questionable characters around the corner talking about things they shouldn't have been talking about. And he was downtown Seattle, and there's some real bad clubs down there. I'm talking about strip joints, the whole deal. And he knew these were from that club. He said, Steve, I wanted to say something to him, but I didn't know what to say. My heart was broken for them. You can't just go up to him and say, hey, I know you're broken. I'm going to, he said, my heart, but I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. I think that's what God wanted me to do. Just pray for him. That is a friendship with God. And that so lights me up. I am so excited about it. That's why it's so hard for me to be done right now. But this thing is how it's supposed to be. This was the original plan. This is what God wanted. A relationship, a friendship, a communication. Because no relationship is better than its communication. So let's learn again. Discover a different star. Let's learn another way to talk to God, to hear God's voice. My friend said, Steve never speaks to me in images. I said, how does he speak to you? He says, he speaks to me in logical thought. You got 5 minutes. See that guy with a flat tire? You turn back around, you go fix it. You got 10 minutes. He's a very logical person. That's how God speaks to him. But he doesn't know it's God until he steps out and acts on it. God will guide you into all truth. He'll teach you how to hear his voice again, but you have to look for it. It's adventurously expectant, where we greet God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? Where do you want to go? What are you saying today? Do you want me to go to work or not?